Hey, I'm Delta Work, and it's time for another episode of Very Delta. Get ready, because my extra special guest and friend is the author of a brand new book called Chicano Bakes, Ready for the Holidays. The one and only Esteban Castillo is here. But first, do you want to see me go off? Because I think you want to see me go off.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful. Oh, are you intellectual like me? Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times? Oh, like me? Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be Very Delta.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta, a luxury public access podcast and YouTube talk show where I look beautiful, speak extemporaneously, and invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and get Very Delta. Very Delta is for the woman who keeps a spare sweater set under the passenger seat. Today's show is cooking with gas, but first, I want to talk about a few things that are Very Delta. I just want to know why everybody's making fun of Madonna and Cher on TikTok. First of all, why is anyone surprised that Cher has a young boyfriend? Cher has spent her entire life publicly saying to people, I take young lovers. I like a young lover. That's what I do. I do not spend time with men to buy me things or to elevate my career or to do anything other than that. Back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, she was with Rob Camaletti, who was called the Bagel Boy. And everyone was like, oh, my God, I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised. What are you surprised for? Why are you shocked that a woman is like, hi, I want to get fucked by somebody young. I like it and they like me. And we're getting down for whatever reason, whether it's financial or whether it's just because that person likes one another. It's none of anyone's business. Why? How can you, in one hand, go, oh, we shouldn't attack women. We shouldn't do this to women. We should support women. But on the same hand, like, go over and be like, girl, I'm so surprised. I can't believe you're surprised. First of all, she didn't explain anything to anyone and she shouldn't have to. She just said, here's my young lover, and now she has another new young lover, supposed young lover. We don't know what they're doing, but even if they are, I don't know why it's a surprise or the business of anyone. And then on top of that, Madonna, people are critiquing her, talking about her plastic surgery that she had done. Many of us grew up with Madonna. I grew up with Madonna, like, you know, coming out with Lucky Star and songs like, you know, I'm talking about like the early 80s, like Burning Up. And then we've watched her progress her whole life. This is our now first time, you know, we never knew coming up as kids that we were going to see somebody then sort of get into these other ages where we expected them to look a certain way. We expect them to be in sweater sets. We expect them to be wearing a certain kind of perfume. We expect them to tone it down. Don't be like that. What is there to tone down? Like, Madonna created the theater for everything that's happening right now. Madonna created that, created the entire set, created the rules and the adjacencies and what everyone's supposed to do. And now that she's older and she's getting surgeries done to look, and I think she looks fantastic. And people are like, oh my God, she shouldn't look that way. She's done too much. What's too much? What's too much when you're a gazillionaire and you've always been known for doing things that are controversial? When the Catholic Church came after Madonna and she was like, all right, well, I made a piece of art and you don't like it, fuck off. Like, then don't like it. But what? How are people saying, oh, you've done too much. It's just too much. Well, what's too much? Because I grew up with women being told that after 40, they had to cut their hair and it had to be short and blonde. Like, that was the thing. You just got to go blonder and lighter. Nobody likes women with dark hair. That just doesn't look young. Why do you have to look young? Why do you have to look old? Why can't you look the way you want to look? If Madonna, people, and then throwing these sort of slurs around like they're appropriate, or like people, I've seen people say things like as if it's negative. They've said, oh, she now looks like she's another ethnic group. She looks Asian, or she looks this way because she had a lift on her eyes. as if it's an insult. Like, then you're now incorporating other things. Oh, I can't believe you look this way. Why would you want to look that way? Well, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to look like you have a beautiful lift to your eyes or pale, smooth skin? I don't understand what the issue is with what Madonna is doing or what Cher is doing as people who are viable and important, especially to the queer community, the LGBTQIA+ community, who have always included everyone under that umbrella. Suddenly it's like they have to be torn apart because they're on TikTok dancing or twerking. So what? Everybody else is doing it. Why are they not allowed to do it? So younger people are allowed to go on and make fools of themselves. And then somebody else sees, oh, there's a viral thing, a viral dance. I want to do it too. I love this song. And then all of a sudden they're like bad or need to be like, they need to be ostracized or they need to be made fun of for wanting to dance or wanting to say, oh, I'm going to have great sex. I love it. Like, I have a young boyfriend. That's wonderful. Where have we gone that the same people that are saying, oh, we got to protect Britney, we got to protect Britney, and then once Britney's out, it's like, oh, we don't have that conversation anymore. Now we have to attack Madonna. Is she okay? Is she ill? What's wrong with her? Like, is she aware? Baby, she's aware. She's viable, sexual, sensual, professional, important, landmark, legendary, groundbreaking. Cher is the same thing. These women are so important to us, because they're not dressed like Betty White was. Like that's not the same thing. I don't get why there's a rule after a certain age. You have to behave this way. We don't want any more of that. Stop getting on TikTok and telling everybody you shouldn't be enjoying your life. Only we can enjoy our life because we're young and we're on TikTok. You're old, so you have to be on Facebook, or you're only advertising, so you need to be on Twitter. Like, it's just so bizarre to me that everyone is really tearing apart these two women that literally have done nothing but it just include everyone in the conversation. And suddenly, because they're doing things that you're not doing, or maybe you want to do, all of a sudden they're gross or bad. Get the fuck out of here with that. That is so late. That gets under my skin all day long. Do you want to see me take a break? I think you want to see me take a break. The new Star series Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is. You won't be able to look away as you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Can you imagine setting your son up to seduce a king? Girl, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen as I watched this historical psychodrama unfold. The show is full of wit, scandal, and action in a genre-bending story that is as sexy and audacious as it gets. You need to check it out. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and on the Starz app.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah.
And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
And And we are back. I am so excited to introduce my next guest, who I've been waiting forever to have here on the couch. I adore him. I love him. I love everything about him. This is the author of two books, a brand new one that just came out for the holiday season. Please show your love to the one and only Esteban Castillo.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hola. How are you?
I'm good. I'm
so excited. I feel like you've been asking me for like what feels like forever.
It is.
To come on.
It is. And I appreciate you being here because you don't live right up the street.
No, I live in Fresno, which is in the middle of nowhere. So
you made it a point to come here just for this.
Just for you.
I appreciate it. This is like my favorite time of year. Anytime after, like when summer is over, Halloween comes, but then the holidays. And you have now your second book out.
It's called Chicano Bakes.
Yep.
And it just literally came out like a couple of weeks ago. And it's something that I've been working on for what feels like forever.
Uh-huh.
And to have it finally in my hands is just, it feels so special. And I'm so excited that I got to share a copy with you.
The thing with both books, because this is your first book. This is the first one. And when did this one come out?
This one literally came out during the pandemic.
Okay.
I wrapped up in March of 2020, and it was published June 30th, 2020. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of a really crazy and chaotic time for everybody. Not only was the book published in 2020, but I had also just purchased a house. I had moved. I had just come out to my dad. I had just turned 30. And so it was a really monumental year for me. Mm-hmm. And what's really special about the first book is that it basically led to the idea of Chicano Bakes. Because a traditional book tour wasn't going to be possible because everything was literally locked down, I decided to launch a series of online cooking classes.
Right.
And so through that, people would ask me for recipes for conchas or marranitos, all of these different things that I grew up with because everybody was baking at the time. And so I did some research, and I realized that the resources for the things that my community wanted to make just really weren't out there. And so right. I approached my publisher and I was like, hey, I'd love to write a cookbook that really just uplifts and really centers Mexican pastries. And they were all for it. And I was like, I need to start working on it.
Yeah. When did you become interested in cooking? I mean, is this a lifelong thing?
I started when I was in college. Okay. I grew up in Southern California in Santa Ana, and I was there for 18 years, and moving away for college was like my first time leaving home. And I did my undergrad at Humboldt State. And so when I got there, it was like a huge culture shock because the number of Mexican restaurants in that town, I could probably count in one hand,
You know?
And so like the things that I was used to that were always within an arm's reach, were no longer available to me. And so I started giving my mom a call and asking her for recipes, and she would say, ay, mijo, échale tantito de esto, tantito del otro, or add a little bit of this, or add a little bit of that. And it just left me with even more questions than I had, started with. And so I started just getting into the kitchen, and I remember the first thing I ever made was chiles rellenos.
Uh-huh.
And I got into the kitchen that evening, and I realized that I was going on autopilot the same way that my mom always does. And the more that I really put my hands to work, the more I realized that I had absorbed so much knowledge as a kid. Because as a kid with two undocumented parents, they always sent me to Mexico whenever they had the chance. And spending time with my mom's side of the family, they've always cooked to earn a living. And so I didn't realize that I had absorbed so much knowledge as a kid from just being around it all the time. And so it was really in college where I realized that I loved cooking.
I love that. No, Mike, I keep looking at you because I thinking about like what your mom said about, when you make a recipe, you just kind of like, we're so used to being able to not always follow a recipe, but just kind of like cook with your heart.
Yeah.
And cook with like the ingredients maybe you have on hand and make something with that.
Yeah.
Even though you do outline in these books how to make something according to the recipe, do you always follow like exact recipes or do you like measure with your heart?
I am that type of person where I need to understand what role each ingredient plays in the recipe.
Okay.
And so I do tend to follow recipes.
Okay.
But if I'm cooking like with my mom, there was this one time where I was making pozole and she was also making pozole.
Uh-huh.
And she kept wondering why I was adding certain things. And I remember it was pozole blanco that we were making. And so it's like the base is like garlic and onion and like broth and then the hominy. And then I added a tiny little splash of vinegar. And she said, why are you adding vinegar?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I want to make sure that my flavors are balanced. And if you take a look, the broth is going to be really rich. Mm-hmm. So how do you lighten this up? You add a little bit of vinegar.
Okay.
And so I enjoy cooking from recipes and following them.
Okay. So,
but
like,
I don't judge if you do, if you don't.
So what about, like, do you ever see celebrities that say, like, I know how to make pozole? And they're like, this is how you make real Mexican pozole. And they put honey in it. Like, what do
Let's
you...
Let's read Rachel.
I mean, I don't want to point any fingers. I don't know who your celebrity chef friends are. But, I mean, you see stuff like that or people are like, this is a true, authentic Mexican corn salad. And you're like, is it?
It starts to become a problem for people like me because, you know, talking about Amazon reviews, when the first book came out, there was one review specifically that really stood out to me. And I try not to let these things bother me. But when someone tells you that the recipes are really basic and that they're from the school of Rick Bayless and Rachel Ray, and so they're discrediting your work because they think that they're the standard.
Right.
It becomes kind of an issue, you know? And I think when we talk about celebrities, like these people, you know, it sort of feels like it waters down our work.
Mm-hmm.
And it also leads to this discussion of like authentic and what really is authentic.
Right.
You know? And so to her, I say, pick up a book.
Yeah.
And I hope it's fine.
I think it should be. I think it should be. Absolutely. What would you say is the difference from the first book to the second book as far as content?
When I was writing Chicano Eats, I was writing it for my younger self.
Okay.
I was writing to that Esteban that had just landed in college that was confused about where to start. And so I wrote this book with people like that in mind, you know, someone who's moved away from home, who also misses their parents cooking, who doesn't know where to start. And so I packed the book with so many different like staple recipes. You have like frijoles de la olla. I teach you how to make mole from scratch. You want to talk about basic? That is not basic. And
right.
I show you how to make three different types of pozole, red, white, green. I show you how to make birria from scratch. And then I also spend half of the book just, you know, doing fun things that I'm known for as Chicano Eats. As Chicano Eats, I get to take traditional Mexican ingredients and, you know, play around with them in non-traditional ways. I have like my champurrado chocolate sheet cake in here. But even in Chicano Bakes, I do the same thing where half of the book is really spent on these traditional pastries like conchas, rebanadas, marranitos, polvorones. But then I also have a lot of really fun recipes in here for like my horchata tiramisu, my café con leche flan. I don't know if you ever had these little bars as a kid. They're called barritas, and they're long rectangle cookies with a stripe of jam in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I took that concept and I made it my own, and I have these strawberry guava shortbread bars in here. They're just like so delicious. And so it really shows you a lot of traditional recipes, but then it also gives you these fun things that I'm known for where you get to let your hair down and just, you know, have fun.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think I asked you this one time in a DM, but when I was a kid, the pink cookies from the bakery always used to be super soft and doughy. And now I feel like no matter where I get them, they're crispy.
Yeah.
Is that because an ingredient has been like left out because of health reasons, or
it's probably because they're using butter.
Okay.
And this is what I tell people all the time, because it's probably the question that I get asked the most with Chicano Bakes. Can I use butter in place of shortening? And the answer is, of course you can, but just know that the outcome is going to be different, because when we look at things like butter, it's a combination of fat and water, and shortening is just 100% fat. So making that substitute is going to change the texture of the cookie. So for me, using shortening in the polvorones is, you know, is going to make it true to that experience.
I'm not eating it
because
I'm on a diet. I want the pink cookie
Neither do
to
I.
be soft. I want it to be pliable. I want it to be like when I was a kid, and I get it. I mean, not saying that like butter is so much healthier or whatever, but it's just an option.
Yeah.
As you said, it just makes things like, it changes it. You're like, you're a scientist, not just a chef. Like, you know.
I told you, I need to understand why some of these things are in each recipe.
That's what makes you so good at this. And I mean, when I look at the books too, I even think like, every aspect of the book just sitting on a counter, like if you gifted that, not only is what's inside amazing, but it looks so beautiful in a kitchen. And that is so pretty.
I have to tell you, when I was working as Chicano Eats, I'm known for this like really vibrant and colorful photography.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that I get to infuse my queerness into my work.
Yeah.
And for I remember when I started in 2016, I got a bunch of, you know, dirty looks from other bloggers because I wasn't sticking to like that cookie cutter food styling where everything's like on a really nice white background or, you know, that like homey feel. And having the art background that I do, I was like, I need to make this a little bit more interesting for me if I want to pour my energy into this, because I launched Chicano Eats as a way to channel my creativity. After college, I went into the workforce and I was doing marketing for this federal nonprofit. And everything was just like very black and white and you couldn't really be creative. Mm-hmm. And so Chicano Eats was like the way that I got to resolve that. And so Chicano Eats is very true to the aesthetic everybody knows me for. But when I was approaching the visuals for Chicano Bakes, I was in a totally different headspace. You know, I had just come out. We were in the middle of a pandemic. And one of the things that I used to do in those online classes that I was teaching was I always had music because it's like how I get through work. And so I always had disco playing in the background. And when I was thinking of the visuals, I was like, it would be really fun to just have fun with this book. You know, we've already seen how people style cookies and cakes, and that's just boring to me. And I was like, why don't I infuse my queerness through disco?
Yeah.
And really just get playful and have fun with this.
I like hearing you talk about this because I know how proud you are of it and how proud I am of it, because
thank you.
It really does speak to the colors and the of not just the Chicano community, but also the queer community. It marries both of them. And hearing you hearing you speak about how proud you are without having to make, you know, a lot of times people will say like, oh, no, it's not that. It's that. No, you're proud of it.
Yeah.
And you wear it very, very like, you know, shoulders back, head up. Not a lot of people do that. And that example that you set is really, really important. I love that.
I think it's really important. And I just feel like personally, there's not very many of us in the industry. And so when I got the opportunity to write this book, I was like, I want to make sure I stand out, whether people like it or not. I always approach my projects as, am I going to be happy with it?
Right.
Because that's who I'm trying to please. I'm trying to please myself. And I am. I'm so happy. And I just love how playful it is.
It's gorgeous. It's so beautiful. I mean, really looking at like when you open the book, it's like a party is happening.
Yeah.
A party is happening.
There was one shot in particular that I just love. I had found these like acrylic hands.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes I do some hand modeling for my husband where like I have to hold something for him. And so I was like, it would be really funny to incorporate the acrylic hands and like holding the tortillas, because as a kid, like the tortillas would come off the comal and so they'd still be steaming, and we'd like roll them up and like pretend like they were cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is a perfect shot for this.
Yeah, I like that. would you mind doing some hand modeling for us here? We have a segment that
Wait, I need some pointers from you.
Well, you have
because
to
because like, you are
spread,
the ultimate.
You have to sort of spread your fingers out a bit, right?
Yeah.
So people can see all of your fingers. And the best way for you to do this is we have a segment called, what do we call it, Mark? We call it Yas Gord. You have to pick your favorite gourd here. So there's a few here, and you can take one and hand model with it. So pick the one you think is interesting. I always think of gourd. I don't know. Ooh. I mean, are all gourds edible?
Not all of them.
No?
Not all of them.
So how do you hand model with that?
I would probably... It depends. Which one's my camera?
Well, you have your rings on. Your rings add to it as well.
Oh, yes.
So you want them to see that.
Yeah.
Can you hold it up and just go, yes, gourd?
Yes, gourd.
See that?
Yeah. That's I'm like hand modeling for my husband, I always have to make sure that I'm not making claws.
Right.
Because then that like detracts from the food.
Right.
So I don't know.
And why
like
that
this.
Gourd?
Ooh, it's probably because Jujubee
picked
it.
It reminds me of my uncle.
And it reminds me of her.
Really?
Yeah.
That one, I've known Jujubee a long time, and that shape doesn't remind me of Jujubee. There would be a stubbier one, I think.
Oh my God.
I love it. Stores. Let's take a break. And we are back. We're back with my extra special guest who has a brand new book out called Chicano Bakes. You will want to get into this book. It is absolutely gorgeous. And this is his second book. Esteban, tell me about the holidays. How do you
celebrate
the holidays? Or do you?
I do. The fall is like my favorite season, especially going into the winter, because it means that Christmas is coming. Mm-hmm. And I love decorating. I feel like last year we had the tree up for about half of the year, mm-hmm. because we had little disco balls, we had the tinsel, and I was just like, yes, I love this. But Christmas time means that tamales are just around the corner.
Right.
And so, yeah, the Christmas is just like one of my favorite times of the year.
How do you, like, if you're going to have tamales at someone's house, how do you like to have them? Like, what will you want? Like, do you want rice and beans? Do you not want that?
I do. I want the rice and beans, but then I also want like crema mexicana on them.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit of shredded lettuce. I don't know. Some queso cotija and maybe like salsa.
Okay.
I need to have them like dressed up.
Okay.
Unless like if I'm on the go, then I'll just eat them by themselves. But I like them like dressed up.
Okay. So I don't know why it's always been this way in my family and all the families I know. Maybe it's just us. But I don't know why we always have like especially like on Christmas Eve. So we'll have... We'll have tamales all out, like in crock pots or whatever, like being heated up with like the coffee cup in the middle to like steam them.
The steam, yeah.
And then there's always rice, but then we always have like beans, like whole beans. We don't really have refried beans.
Yeah.
So we'll have whole beans with like a ham hock or something in it.
Oh yeah.
Okay. But then there's always potato salad.
What's wrong with that?
Why? But where does that come from? Like, where
I don't know. And that's,
it's a thing.
It's a thing because I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, I always used to love having my aunt's like egg salad. She would have like the egg salad with a bunch of like black pepper on it.
Yeah.
And then she would also have like the potato salad. So it's definitely a thing.
Right. And I've told people before too, like when I'm eating a plate like that, like I'm going to need chips or something as to pick it up. I don't want a utensil. That's like down.
Yeah.
Like, that's like down.
I feel like it has to be like a Chicano thing because she is like Chicana down.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's got to be something in there.
And everyone's like, you don't necessarily sitting at a table either. You're like sitting on some chair with like a plate balancing on your knees.
Yes.
Yes. If Starbucks was going to introduce a sugar-free syrup and they could only pick
it's going to be the
Abuelita or Ibarra, Which one? You have to pick.
It's going to be Ibarra.
Somebody else, I asked somebody else a similar question. I was like, oh, do you love Abuelita? And they were like, well, if I had to pick, I'd pick Ibarra.
Yeah.
But they're like, I'll drink Abuelita, but I would have to pick Ibarra.
It's always going to be Ibarra.
Right? How come they don't have something like that at Starbucks?
That's a good question. Let's ask them.
Yeah. They got rid of the cinnamon dolce sugar-free a long time ago.
Yeah.
So they only have vanilla. But like, I mean, come on. How imaginative is their vanilla?
I want to know, though, like, what do you like to cook?
Well, I mean, I like to cook everything. I'm not going to say that I do it well, but I like to cook everything.
I'm sure you're good.
I wish I could say that I, had signature recipes. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I, ever really get asked to bring to, family gatherings or whatever are usually beans.
Yeah.
So,
And that's literally what... I know you were talking about your charro beans a while ago, and I was like... I know we'd be friends because if she makes really good charro beans,
it's my favorite.
It's
my favorite. I love it. But see, my other thing too is that because whenever we're going to a family gathering, it's a lot of people.
Yes,
I only know how to make in quantity. So whenever I go to the store and I'm like, oh, we're just gonna make some for the house. I always think, is that going to be enough chorizo? Is that going to be enough ground beef?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because then you don't want to make it and then have enough for everybody and go, oh, I wish we had more. Because you always want more.
Yes.
Like a leftover something.
Someone has to have the little Tupperware afterwards.
Yes.
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 You have to make enough.
But I do, I like tamales.
Tamales
are my favorite. My favorite thing. I mean, obviously you can eat them year round, but I feel like as soon as it starts to get cold, you think of that as the go-to food. I like to have albondigas. I like to have pozole. As far as tamales go for me, I think maybe one time in my life, I had a tamale that I didn't like.
Oh my gosh.
But it's kind of in the way I look at pizza. Even if it's bad pizza, I'm like, it's
still
kind of
good, yes.
So I can taste something and go, ooh, this is dry or this is mealy or they didn't use enough of this or that. But I was talking about earlier, I love what we used to call duds, which were just masa, steamed.
Yeah, steamed masa.
Nothing else in there. And I will eat that. It's a favorite tamale. It doesn't have to have any meat, any cheese, nothing.
I mean, it's probably because the masa is already seasoned really well,
Right.
So it's going to have some good flavor.
I think so.
Now,
yeah.
Are you a fan of sweet tamales?
I am.
Oh my gosh.
I am.
What's your favorite? Fresa.
I like anything that has raisins in it.
Yes.
So I'm a huge raisin fan. Do you remember the chocolate candy called Chunky?
No.
So Chunky is a square and it has raisins and peanuts in it. So I've never had obviously a tamale with peanuts in it, but raisins, cinnamon,
so
I love piña.
Wait, do you like oatmeal cookies on?
I love
oatmeal
cookies.
Oh my gosh. I love them too.
That's probably my number one cookie is an oatmeal cookie. And people always eat chocolate chip. My number one's an oatmeal and then a peanut butter and then a chocolate chip.
Peanut butter is up there for me, but it has to have a certain consistency.
Mm-hmm.
If they're snappy, it needs to be a soft, chewy peanut butter cookie.
But did you ever have Mrs. Fields?
Yes.
Sometimes they tasted
Where
raw.
Where are they?
I don't think they're around them. Once upon a time, there used to be one across the street from Rage Nightclub in West Hollywood for years, and it would stay open late. But sometimes they were raw in the middle. You think they just rushed
that?
I kind
of like that.
You like that?
I like that.
Do you eat cookie dough?
Not cookie dough, but I like a soft baked cookie. There's only certain cookies that I like when they're really nice and crispy and crunchy. But for the most part, I like a nice underbaked cookie.
Yep. So I do have a recipe that I don't share with everyone.
Are you going to share it with me?
Oh, I'm going to share it with you.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Because I want a fair critique. I want someone who knows to say, I understand what you're doing here, but this is what's good, and maybe this is what you can improve upon.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, I've gone through the books, but my family does an assembly line.
My family too.
Yeah,
it takes a village.
Well, I'm gonna put some of my my ingredients. I have a few of them here. Of course, there's some secrets that I can't that are in
Uh-oh.
some of the seasonings. We're gonna start here. Okay, so this is gonna go into the oven. You go ahead and just put this in whole, just like that. And we can go ahead and set that. And that's going to cook for a minute. And that's long enough. That's how long that cooks. So that part's already warmed up. That's, you need to start there. You know what I mean? And then I like to layer some seasoning as well from the same brand.
I love
brand.
This recipe already.
Isn't it? It's easy. It's easy. It's modern. I don't like to gentrify anything. Yeah. We're going to put that in the oven as well. There that goes. And you can put that in. I would say when you put that in, I like to put it on popcorn poultry.
I love
when
that.
When I put it in, I do. And because what that does is it warms it, but it defrosts it at the same time.
Oh, I love that.
Sometimes that spice, even though it is hot, it's icy. And so when I put
that's
it in there,
so interesting.
It knocks that off a little
bit.
Oh my
gosh.
You know what I mean? Kind of like whenever I make my famous chili, when I do my famous chili, I put peppermint icebreaker gum in it.
I love that. So you get a little bit of like that hot and cold.
Yeah. Then you're going to use this. I mean,
what
this is truly the flavor of Mexico.
Yeah.
If you did not know, Albers enriched yellow cornmeal. This is the brand that's really going. This is the oro, right here, as they call it. And this will really keep you authentic.
Now, is that like grits?
This is grits. You can use grits in your tamales.
I love
that. You put that in there. This one I do like to do as beverage. You can do beverage keep warm because really. This one is open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Some people like it a little more mealy. Some people like it a little more liquidy.
I like it a little more icy.
You like it more icy?
Yeah.
Then this is the perfect time for those icebreakers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What you can do is you can actually get a molcajete and
put
in.
You're going to crush them up.
Not the gum, but the actual.
Yeah.
The one, yeah. And you grind those in there, throw it in there. That's long enough for that, I think. Let's take that out. And then, we like to grow our own vegetables, and we like to have our own livestock.
Yeah, I see your own little farm right here.
All of these. This is a real gourd as well.
Yes, gourd.
But what I like to use, really what the ancestors used, was 93% lean ground beef in your tamales.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what you will really want to use. Again, this one's frozen. So in order to even start anything...
Is it organic?
Well, we're going to put frozen entree and frozen vegetable. If you do both of them, it's more of a balance as well.
Mm-hmm.
I could hit defrost, but I want to start cooking.
Yeah.
I've had you here long enough. We need to start cooking.
Yeah, we got to get to it.
You know what I mean? So this unit, the reason it looks so big is because it's a prototype. And it cooks everything very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's almost like a convection oven.
You see it, right? That's already cooked. That's fast enough for that. And really, I think the magic of a recipe like this is really a whole onion.
Yeah, it already smells so good.
You
smell
it?
Like, it smells like my grandma's house.
A lot of people say that. It's not just my Youth Dew perfume. Which, by the way, what are you wearing that smells so good?
Oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if have you ever smelled Tom Ford's Bitter Peach?
I have not.
I brought it for you so you could smell it.
I want to say, is this what you're wearing?
Yes, I'm wearing a combination because I know that you might like to layer. So I was like, I need to layer two of my favorites. This is Tom Ford's Bitter Peach.
That's what you're wearing right now. Let's smell what
and you're wearing. And I also like to layer this with Atelier's Pomelo Paradis.
This is gorgeous. This is what you're wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like the most realistic, like grapefruit smell that
I've
come
smell...
across.
Now you said not everyone knows you're gay. They don't know.
They
you,
always
you
ask.
Had to come out recently.
I mean, my dad. Everybody else knew, but it was just like having that conversation.
What was the
with
giveaway?
My dad.
You think?
Probably all of the purses falling out of my mouth
that
all the time.
Could be it.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Yeah.
But you know, you can't label people. this actually. The smell of onion is wonderful.
It smells really good.
I don't always love it when people fully smell like onion, but it is natural in a way. And I mean, if it comes from the earth and it comes from your body, it's got to be good.
I mean, sometimes it kind of smells like a carne asada. So
like
I'm down.
I like that. I mean, if people smell like food, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
This actually, we're going to do this on, I like to do this on softened fish.
Yes.
Because that would be like butter, creamers, also, what else is here? Butter, like a cream cheese. yeah. but in a fishy way.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just adds to it. Remember you were talking about adding in ingredients that sort of
balance
everything
out. Yeah, this is
going
to balance everything out.
This will balance it. And also if you cook it the way that you cook fish... It just does something.
Yeah. I'm so excited, you guys.
Those things are in there. The essence is brewing in here. I really want you to taste this. Are you ready?
Yes.
I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to love it. It's time for Christmas. Okay. So you come on out of here. Now, conveniently, now my hands, I washed my hands yesterday. So there, I should be fine. Conveniently, I managed to make with that because I told you that there's ingredients that I can't tell everyone about. I'll share with you off camera.
I didn't get to see those. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to share them with you off camera. But I managed to make three different kinds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with those ingredients.
That was like five of them.
Well, the beef only made it in one kind. There's also a cheese, which I don't like to tell everybody exactly because you know you have a secret that you use in yours.
Yeah, it's a family secret. Yeah.
So I'm going to offer you a fork.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And then I'm going to just use this to take that off. So that way my nails are not, you know, touching the actual food.
I'm so hungry.
Are you?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Would you ever have you ever worked in a corporate setting where you like have like a shared refrigerator?
Yes.
And do you bring your own lunch sometimes?
Yeah. I didn't because people would take bites out of other things.
Right. I said I was going to ask you, has that ever happened to you?
It has.
Yeah, somebody ate your lunch or something?
Yeah.
What would be a lunch you would take, like, in if you had the time to take whatever lunch you wanted, like a breakfast sandwich?
I used to, this is back when I was, like, health conscious. Mm-hmm. I would take, like, pork that I had grilled with like some rice and some beans mm-hmm. and like tortillas, basically carnitas. And people would just like get into there, you know, get into my bags.
And they would just eat it. Sometimes people just take one bite.
Yeah.
And they just leave it. And it's like, where does that even, who does that?
Yeah.
Who does that? Now, I have to tell you, I'm not particularly proud of the chicken. There's a chicken one
in
there. Something happened with the masa because you can see the tamale shouldn't crumble like that.
Yes.
It should not. I think this has a far better consistency just from looking at it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you at home can see that.
I feel like the chicken might have needed like an extra minute on the fish setting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see
Maybe the potato setting.
Fish, keep warm beverage.
Yes.
I do think that the pork looks like it will be pretty good. I don't know. Your honest opinion, just bite into any of them that you think might be interesting, even if it's the ugly one.
I'll do the ugly one.
Okay. Because maybe sometimes it's the flavors there, but
the flavor does look like it's there. So we are going to take a bite.
Okay. It might be okay. Yeah, the flavor's not there. I can tell.
I'm getting that nice, like warm, but sort of cool sensation.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It must have been those Mentos you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
No, it was the icebreakers.
Mm-hmm. It was the icebreakers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now what
They're
about
so good.
What about that one?
This
you
one
that one with the more it's more full bodied, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
This is a chef and a baker as well, a photographer, a model, a hand model, a mm-hmm. husband,
mm-hmm.
a disco fanatic.
You know what's great about this mm-hmm. is that I'm probably going to need a glass of water after this.
Okay.
But the same thing happens at my mom's house, though.
So. Mm-hmm. Do you drink Diet Coke?
I'm more of a vanilla Coke kind of girl.
Oh, okay. But you're in the Coke family.
I have this conspiracy that they changed their formula.
Yeah, they did.
Because it doesn't taste like vanilla.
Okay. Do you drink cocktails? I know you do, because I've seen you make them.
I do. I love a good cocktail.
Have you ever had vanilla Diet Coke and Malibu rum?
I haven't, but it sounds delicious.
We used to call them Nilla Booze.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what we used to do. So, okay, the consistency is a little fucked up in that middle one.
Yeah, I feel like it just needed that one more minute on the potato setting.
This one, okay. What could save these?
Just like a little bit of cheese.
Cheese.
A little crumbled cotija. Maybe a little bit of, just dress them up.
Okay.
Have you seen the TikToks of the white people chewing into the husk?
Oh, no. They don't know.
They don't know.
Do they bite the... are these the same people who bite a taco in the middle?
Yes. They take them. They don't unwrap them. And it's just like you see them like biting into the tamal with the husk still on. And they're like, this isn't great. And
yeah.
I'm like, yes, Greg, this is because you have to.
Well, you would think it would be a given at this point. Like, I understand not knowing other cultural food, but yeah. You would look at something and go, that's a wrapper. I'm pretty sure that's a wrapper. I think they were just doing that. Like, I think, I don't know. You know, people like
to
have these
cute
videos. Like, yeah, I don't know what it is, but people are insane with making the content. And sometimes you're like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's take a break. And we are back. We are back. You know, this is a portion of the podcast where people write in letters, mm-hmm. sometimes asking for advice or just sharing like a viewpoint.
Read me, Delta!
And they've sent a couple, and I want you to answer them with me, if
I'd
you
love
will.
To. Yeah,
now,
I'd love to.
If they're too uncomfortable.
I love to give advice.
You love to give advice. But you're a gentleman. I really, seriously, you're such a gentleman that whenever I'm around people that I think are like, you know, a lady or a gentleman or just a gentle person in general, I always feel uncomfortable because I'm like, you know, my conversations always end up in the bathroom.
No,
and people
I love
are like,
it.
Here we go again. And I'm like, I don't want to do this to this person. They're so, I really do. I think that you're so sophisticated, and it's not everybody is that way.
My husband will probably tell you otherwise.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, and that's the wonderful thing is that your husband is probably somebody, obviously, who knows you at your absolute worst, but
yes.
champions your absolute best because
yes.
he knows. You know what I mean? He knows how wonderful you are. Here's a piece of a letter that just says Delta.
I love that.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
was quick.
Do it however you want. Okay, so they sent this one that says, I've been a fan of yours, Delta, for many years, and I'm a fan of the podcast. Honestly, I've always admired your candor, your honesty, your comedy, and it's been great to see you in your element week after week spilling some real tea. I'm curious on your thoughts and feelings around self-checkout. I think I want to see you go off. With love, Very Jerry. I like
that. I want to see you go off, too.
I mean, you know, I prefer self-checkout.
Me, too.
I prefer it, even if I have, like, a ton of stuff. But I'm also that person that goes to, like, when I go to Target, I come up slow and, like, kind of look around to see what's the shortest line. Is anyone in self-checkout? And also, I think people are under the impression that guest services is only for returns, and they don't realize that it also says up there, checkout and returns.
Yes. I only exclusively use the self-checkout.
Uh-huh.
Because for some reason, the universe, whenever I do get seared into someone's checkout lane, it is the one that takes the longest time. I don't know what it is, but it will always just take forever.
Yeah.
So if I have the opportunity, I'm going to go for the self-checkout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I wonder too, when you go these places, like I wonder why people are afraid to get into self-checkout. I know like, I don't know the most about technology. So I know there are older people that maybe are like, oh, I'm afraid that it's going to take my information or it's going. And I get it. I do get that because I'm, mm-hmm. you know, a crabby old bitch myself. But I more than being crabby, I'm lazy. So I want to get in and out.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit around.
It's not that difficult. I used to work at Fresh and Easy where all of the checkouts were self-checkouts. and I worked at Target.
And you were Fresh and Easy.
And I was Fresh and Easy. And still am. but it was just like, all you have to do is just push like two buttons and you're done.
Yeah. Like you really are.
So difficult.
But what about when you get to the self-checkout and then they're like, you're scanning your things and then there's no bags?
That literally happened to me last night.
Yeah.
And I'm just like standing there, like looking around, and there's like no one, like there's like no attendant.
Right.
I'm like, what am I supposed to just like carry them and walk out?
Yeah. And what about when there's like 600, I don't know if you go to Walmart, but if you've ever been to Walmart and you go to their self-checkout, which is very comprehensive, there's lots of self-checkout, which I love, lots of options to for everyone to get through. But there's like 500 people that work in there.
And then when you need help,
yeah,
there's none around.
Like, fortunately, where I go to one in Whittier or Santa Fe Springs, and there's like quite a few queer people that work at that mm-hmm. one. And so they're always super nice and on it, and they know what's going on. But then there's always a few that just kind of look at you like, what? What do you want? Why do you want? I'm like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I feel like we need more gays, more mm-hmm. queers in these spaces, because if you need something done, you know that they're going to do it, and they're going to do it very quickly.
I also feel like, I mean, if I have to scan this shit myself and like it doesn't have a code on it and I happen to pick up organic, I'm going to scan it as regular, not organic. I don't work here. I wasn't trained. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my fault that you didn't train me. I'm just saying, I know I'm going to have to ask somebody. I don't want them to have to take away from somebody else who has a problem. Listen, I love self-checkout. I love self-checkout. But when I go through that self-checkout, if it doesn't have a sticker on it and it's organic, I'm going to scan it as regular, and that's just going to be the cost.
I mean, that sounds reasonable. But also, talking about Walmart, what are these people looking at when they are checking a receipt?
I don't know, but I think that they maybe have a headset on, and I think that their loss prevention, while they're doing that, loss prevention is saying, no, that person's cool. Because maybe while you were shopping, they saw you like pick something up, and then sort of, maybe that's a way of stopping thievery.
Huh.
I don't know. But I will tell you this, what you better not do at Walmart. You better not ever, ever, ever think that you're going to get in front of one of their personal shoppers. Because baby, they will take that rack and knock you the fuck over. They are like, darling, this is Buffum's, darling. I'm personal shopping, darling.
They are going to book
it. Shoo, darling. What are you doing, darling? And you're like, oh, I just wanted to get some top ramen. And like, what? Please move. I'm a personal shopper. There's one that lives in my building. Nicest guy ever. He doesn't do that. But I'm not saying everyone does it. I'm just saying 99.9% of the people that do this job are like, I don't know why you're in here shopping by yourself. You should have a personal shopper like me. I wonder if you have to tip them on like on the little thing, like sign in, like, you know, when you go places and they turn the iPad around and they're like, they're going to be asking you a question here at the bottom. Do you want 40 or 80% tip on your $2 coffee?
Yeah, I feel like everybody loves a little tip.
I do. Yeah. I mean, if we're going to do a little one, we might as well do a big one. All right. Another letter. Yes, Very Jerry. We love self-checkout. I love that your name is Very Jerry. I love that. Okay. Next letter. I'm keeping these in order, too. Ooh, this is a long one. Dear Delta, I pray my letter finds you well on this gorgeous autumn day. Recently, my 31-year-old adult sister adopted two orange tabby kittens, Beau and Beatrice, who are the most gorgeous shade of orange blossom and sweet cream. They are matched in beauty as well as personality. They are the sweetest beans ever and have truly been a welcome blessing in our lives. However, of late, they've somehow become angered at my sister and have begun angry pissing. It's been getting worse and worse to the point where she has to put a king-size waterproof mattress cover over her IKEA navy trundle bed so she doesn't arrive home from work to a sopping wet pissy bed. She's confided in me that she woke up to Beau standing on top of her pissing directly onto her tummy whilst she lay sleeping. Well, this alarmed her, of course, causing her to roll sideways to the other side of her IKEA navy trundle bed into a warm, greasy cat shit fresh from Beatrice's bottom, hot and steamy on a pillow like Little Caesar's. I heard her screams from down the hall. I ran to her door asking her what the issue was. Too embarrassed to tell me the truth at first, she said she herself was sick and accidentally shat her bed. What should she do? Sincerely, Bridget. My friends call me Midge. I mean, what would you do? Do you have cats?
I have three dogs.
You have three dogs.
I love cats, but I'm allergic.
Okay.
But I've heard that cats sense danger and sense evil. Mm-hmm. So if they're acting out, right, maybe we need to look at the sister.
I think so.
They're trying to tell her something. So right, let's look at the sister.
Something, they're responding to something in the environment.
Yes.
It's definitely environmental. And when I say environmental, it could be that she's in the environment.
Yeah.
You know, they're responding. They're saying something. Maybe take them to the vet and have this conversation with the vet. Maybe visit a cat whisperer. Yeah. That's an option.
I would also suggest like a limpia. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Grab, you know, find a witch.
Yeah. You get a limpia. Cleansing. Also, I mean, you know, back in the day, they used to get a pillowcase. And they would just drop them in the river.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I wouldn't do
Are
that.
Are we dropping the sister in the river?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want to do it, but you could. They would do that with cats, but the cats aren't the issue. Your sister's the issue. And I mean, I think you might want to wrap her up in the Navy duvet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
for the IKEA
stitch
bed.
That up with some, what are those, zip ties?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And just push her off. Because she's causing a problem for these two cats.
Especially if they're the orange tabby cats. I feel like those are like the sweetest ones.
I have so one.
Look at the sister.
I have an orange tabby cat. He's a big boy. His name is Tango.
Oh.
And he's kind of a dum-dum a little bit. Like he's kind of like oafish.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. And then our girl cat is Cha-Cha. And she's black, a black cat, thin, super, super like shiny and green eyes. Mm-hmm. And she's very aloof, so whenever she's around you can kind of see them having this conversation where he's like, hey, what's going on, and she's like she's like one of those personal shoppers at Walmart. She's just like,
oh, it sounds like my oldest dog. She is a basset hound mix.
Okay, love.
And so she's just like so sweet, but there's never anything really just happening in that head.
Okay.
She's just yeah.
And what about the other two dogs?
The other one is a cattle dog. So he is just like a raging bitch all the time.
Okay.
And then the other one is a little pit mix. So he's just like really sweet, but scared of everything.
Aww.
So, yeah.
How long have you had all these dogs?
The oldest is going on 9 years old.
Okay.
And then the other one's like 4 and 3.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I love my cats. I love my Cha-Cha and my Tango. Are you all interested in seeing videos of my two luxurious purebred cats from the ASPCA? If you are, send a message to the Mom Podcast's page or readmedelta@gmail.com. And maybe we could make it possible for you to see my beauties in their everyday life at the estate. I think we've decided, Midge, that your sister's the problem.
Yeah.
The cats are not the problem. Your sister's the problem. We both agree. Yeah. You are a parent of three. I'm a parent of two. And we know that that's what you have to do. You're going to have to get rid of your sister. Never speak to her again.
Yeah.
Maybe put her, what did it say? Her Navy trundle bed. Oh, so the blanket's not Navy.
I think maybe we need to return the sister back to the ASPCA.
Wait, her sister has a trundle bed.
Which one is that one?
Isn't that like a little drawer underneath?
Yeah. Oh, for like the storage?
Oh, there's another bed. Well, who is, she's 31, who's sleeping in the trundle bed with her? Did you ever see that, did you ever watch the X-Files?
I didn't.
No.
I was always too scared.
Okay. There's an episode of the X-Files called Home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about incest. And it was about that these people were keeping their mother, these boys, generations of sons, were keeping their mother under a bed. And she pulls out of the little trundle and she goes, this is our home. She says that and she's like all chewed up because she's like that. And she goes, this is our home.
It sounds like The Hills Have Eyes.
I don't know. Somebody's living in the trundle bed. We have to ask that question, too. Maybe that's why the cats are freaking out.
Yeah.
Somebody's under the bed.
Maybe it's your life choices. Yeah.
Maybe it's their home, not whoever lives in the trundle. I don't know. It could be. I mean, this is it. This is what we did. We cooked.
I had a blast.
I had a blast.
I'm really glad that I came.
This is so fun. This is so dumb and so silly. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I mean, I really wanted to see you go off in person, and I'm so happy that I got to experience that.
Well, we see, and that's the thing is, I feel like people think that we're really going off, but like, I feel like I'm just sort of like.
You're always spitting the truth.
Well, you know what somebody called, my friend Ty Blue said, you're my favorite hair splitter. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because there's not really that big of an issue happening, but somehow I managed to like, split hairs on something where people are like, you know, this isn't a big deal, right? Like, yeah. You know, there's other shit going on.
And I feel like it's conversations that everybody is having in their own heads.
I hope so.
And you are just the messenger.
I'm a messenger. I'm going to put that on my bio. A messenger, a prophetess.
And I feel like more people have to pay attention to Delta and the things that she says, because I remember when I first started listening to Very That, you had mentioned your love for the Jack in a Box egg rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I were like, we've never tried them. So mm-hmm. we went and we tried them, and now we have them religiously because of
Aren't
you.
They good?
They're so good.
They're so good. But are you having them with teriyaki and ranch dressing? Try it, please.
We are going to be having them with the McDonald's sweet and sour.
Now, the McDonald's sweet and sour is for sure the best. I like their sweet and sour. I want to thank you all for listening to Very Delta. You can now search for Very Delta on your podcast apps. We come out every Monday, and we want you to subscribe to the Mom Podcast YouTube channel so you do not miss an episode. And also a special shout out to everyone watching the talk show on YouTube. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for the comments, the questions, the queries, and just supporting us, especially those that pop on late at night when it comes out like at midnight and there's a chat on there. Sometimes I go on there and like, I'm on there talking and mm-hmm. I'm like, thanks guys. And like, no one's responding to me. And I'm like, and it says my name. Like, they don't give a fuck.
They should.
How come you don't give a fuck when I'm in there trying to talk? I don't understand. Like, I'm trying to engage. That's fine. I see you. You can now search for Very Delta on your podcast apps. We come out every Monday, and find us here on the Mom Podcast YouTube channel. And also, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me all across social media as @ChicanoEats. And if you'd like to go to my website, ChicanoEats.com, you'll find tons more delicious recipes up there. My new cookbook, Chicano Bakes, is available anywhere books are sold. And I hope you guys pick up a copy.
Yes, I love that. Also, you know what's Very Delta? Subscribing to Mom Podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, you can send questions about driving gloves, lady fingers, cashmere sets, hanky codes. Do you know your hanky codes?
No, I don't.
No, you don't. I could tell you what yours are. You can send all of those questions and queries to readmedelta@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me @DeltaWork on Instagram. And we now have dedicated socials for the show @VeryDelta on Instagram and TikTok for clips and updates. And join me next week right here. And until then, keep things very Delta. To listen to Very Delta one day early and ad-free, sign up for Mom Plus at mompodcasts.plus. Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom. Hosted by Delta Work and produced by Mark Jacobs. Engineered by Margo Padilla and editing by Doug Robertson. Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.